kind of predictable, I suppose, out of this passage. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer first. Now, Father, coming to you tonight here, hope to be an encouragement to somebody. And sometimes, Father, we tend to stray away a little bit, get our minds on other things. Sometimes we forget what's best for us. And sometimes, even though we hear it often, and sometimes even maybe too often, we still manage to forget. So we pray you'd help us tonight. Remind us, Lord, of the treasure we've got. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Go down to verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Now, church attendance is regular fodder. Thought I had it on, brother. Church attendance is regular fodder at a lot of places. You get three types of messages: tithing, attendance, and soul winning. And all those things are good. Those things are fine. I'll tell you this. If you don't come to church, I hope you feel guilty. I really do. But I want to say there's a more, there's a higher motive than just guilt when it comes to this matter. Amen? I want to talk to you about that for a little while here tonight. And hopefully, maybe if you've lost your vision a little bit for this, hopefully you can get it back. You know, there's a terrible sickness going around. It's called Morbus Sabbaticus. That's called a Sunday sickness. I've got to give you some things here. First of all, sickness never lasts more than 24 hours. It doesn't affect your appetite. It doesn't affect your eyesight. In fact, some folks say that in fact, a lot of guys say that watching TV actually helps. No doctor is ever called, and unfortunately, it usually becomes chronic. One preacher reminded folks one day in his congregation, he said, you know, some of you have been griping, complaining about my 45-minute sermons, so you trade those 45-minute sermons in for a 450-column newspaper. And that's about the truth, ladies and gentlemen. One time there was this old lady, and she hadn't been to church in so long, that when the pastor started out with, "Dearly beloved," she thought he was proposing. So that's not good. But I want to remind you for a little while here tonight about what service your Bible-believing church actually serves you. And the reason I say this is, folks, what you always hear these days, I'm a pastor, so I hear it all the time. Folks all come in with various stories about the reason they're mad at some church somewhere, or the church in general, or any church or any Christian. A lot of the reasons revolve around hypocrites in the church, all right? A lot of things revolve around the idea that somewhere, sometime, somebody's seen a deacon do something wrong, or a pastor do something wrong, or a secretary take off with the offering, or some such thing. There's lots of stuff like that. We always hear complaints about, we Baptists are always shooting our own wounded, all right? And sometimes that's true, I suppose. But there's a lot of discouraging things that happen. We hear complaints about churches going backslidden and compromising this, that, or the other. Then there's always the gossip about church members and church members gossiping, folks finding sin in church members, all those sort of things. I understand those things are true, and I want to say, I'm pretty critical of churches myself, and I'll tell you why. I believe the called-out assembly is becoming more and more rare as time goes by. By that, I mean the called-out assembly of peculiar people after God's calling who are trying to live a godly life, do the right thing, and stay separate from the world. They are strangers and pilgrims in this world. They're not just coming together to sit in an auditorium of theater seats to hear a rock concert or whatever. They come. Some churches actually have a place you can come where what you get is spiritual just about all the time. And so I want to say that I'm critical of churches too. I believe that a real Bible-believing church is a very rare thing in this day and age. I believe that very much. So I want to talk to you about what you actually get in church. And so don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? What you get in church, but also what this is going to serve to do, I hope, is to show you what the vision actually is, what our, I guess you could call it a manifesto or whatever, of Blessed Hope Baptist Church really is what we're really laboring to do, and we hope that you'll share that vision and so on. And there I said that word share, so this has got to be really bad. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, whether you believe it or not, I'm now, again, there are some churches I don't have any question you can go to and wind up worse off than you are now, okay? There's no question about that. But in general, I want you to know that life outside of a local church is a disaster waiting to happen, okay? So let me give you some things here. Maybe you haven't thought about some of these things. I want you to see what you get in church that you normally wouldn't somewhere else, anywhere else in the world, and many times not in church itself, if it's not the right kind of church. First of all, in church, you get to see God given His proper place. By that I mean not only God given His proper place, but the Word of God given its proper place. Jesus Christ given its proper place. Now, I know some of you really think very highly of those football players that just right after the touchdown and just before the jigaboo dance, they actually kneel down, cross themselves, or point to the sky, giving God the glory. You think that's a wonderful thing. I know that some of you think that after a Super Bowl win, when a Christian football player gets up and says, "Glory to Jesus," that is the greatest thing in the world. And I can have a certain appreciation for it. The guy with the John 3:16 sign in the end zone, that is a great manifestation of Christianity, right? But I want you to know that nowhere in the world do you go anywhere where for 30 or 40 or 50 minutes or an hour, somebody stands up and raves about the goodness of Jesus Christ for that period of time. Nobody on TV, no football player does it. They don't have the guts to do it. But I mean, somebody standing up and ranting and raving and preaching and glorifying God for His grace, for His goodness, for His mercy, for His book, for His Son, for Himself, for the Holy Spirit, and for His goodness to sinners. All right, nobody in the world, you never hear that anywhere. You do not go to a Bible study, for the most part, at work, and hear somebody stand up and glorify God like that. You know why? Because they all have all kinds of people in that Bible study. If they say too much, they'll offend somebody, all right? I want you to know that one thing you get in a Bible-believing church, you get to see God given His proper place, the Word of God given its proper place. In this world, you do not hear people sing unto the Lord Jesus Christ like you do in church. That is something that you cannot get somewhere else besides church. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you think a vision of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is, but I'll tell you what it is. It is that every time you come here, you hear the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and God Himself glorified for the entire time that you're here. Okay? Now, you're only here for, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours at a time. In all seriousness, you're only here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at a time, usually. And you come for that period of time. There is nowhere else in this world that you're going to go besides a local church and hear God given the glory, the Word of God given the glory, Jesus Christ given glory for 2 straight hours. There's nowhere in this world that you would. You get to see God glorified here in a way you never would anywhere else. There is no club you can join that does that. If you join the 4-H club, you say, well, there are people in 4-H that are saved, but they're not going to do what we do here. Okay? If you join the Kiwanis club, you know, I am believe it or not, an athletic director of a boys and girls basketball team, the North Metro Blazers. And, we pray before games and all that. But I tell you, kind of a sad thing. I believe there are some folks probably involved with the Blazers that aren't even saved. You know what the Blazers are for? Basketball. You know what we do as the North Metro Blazers? We play basketball. Now, you know, so again, I'm kind of the head of that and all that kind of, that's all neat and that's all good. But I want you to know, we don't glorify God for an hour, 2 hours at a time by standing up, ranting and raving and preaching and praising the Jesus Christ of the Bible and the God of the Bible and the Bible of the Bible. We don't do that because what we're for is basketball. You know what you do? You come to church to get 2 hours of praising God at the same time. So I want you to know, folks, you won't get this, by the way, at home either. You say, oh, I have very spiritual times at home. Your phone rings at home and you get up and answer it. The TV beckons and you get up to answer it. Oh, you'll pray, but you'll pray for 15 minutes because in 15 minutes your game comes on. That's what happens at home. At home the phone rings. At home the dog barfs up, so you got to go take care of that. So I want you to know that whether you're here and the dog barfs, you don't know it, so you're still happy here. I just want you to know, folks, that one of the things you get in church, you do not get anywhere else, including on a fishing boat, including your deer stand, by the way, you get to hear God given His proper place for more than 2 minutes at a time. All right, I want to say something else. I want to say that one of the things you get in church, you get to experience God's presence in a way that you wouldn't somewhere else. Now, I have never, ever taught that the church here, the building, is the temple of God. Okay? Once in a while, I pray something about, thank you for bringing us into thy house this morning, that kind of stuff. Okay? I accept that. I have never taught that this is the temple of God, that this is the sanctuary. This is a building where we meet together. Your body is the temple of God. Your body is the sanctuary. And so, you know, I've never gone to that length or that extent. So I don't think that you coming here is the same thing as coming to the temple of God, all right? So our church is not named Blessed Hope Baptist Temple, for instance. But I will say this, folks. There are a lot of folks out there that do their own I'll worship in my own way thing all the time, okay? They do it when they like, how they like, where they like, and so on. And with those folks, you never see them under conviction the way some of you have been under conviction here. You never see somebody get right or even really get saved going off by yourself, doing it your own way, on your own time, with your little DVD player, and when you get ready, when you get your eggs down in the morning, you go sit down by the fire and watch Joel Osteen on TV. I want you to know that coming to church, you get to experience God's presence in a way you do not somewhere else, anywhere else for that matter. I know where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them, right? It's not the same on a fishing boat as here, okay? Now, you can pray on a fishing boat. You can get to know the God of the creation on a fishing boat. That's all fine. That's all good. I'm sure your communion with God on a deer stand is a holy thing. When you go and play bridge with your bridge club, I'm sure your fellowship with God is a holy thing when two or three of you are gathered together. I'm sure that's true. It's not the same as here. It is not the same as here. Look, folks, God will show up here in a way He will never show up in your home. You have tens, 20s of people praying together here. Men come together here on Saturday night to pray. Undoubtedly, there are wives that pray as well. You have folks praying for services here every day that we have services, right? You have folks praying while we have services. You have 160 voices lifted up to Jesus Christ in a way that you can never lift your voice. One by one, two by two, three by three, in your own house, in your own little group. I want you to know you will find the presence of God here in a way that you do not find Him off by yourself, on your own, or in your little Bible study group. Bible studies are fine. We started our church with just a little bitty group, and so in reality, it was just a little Bible study group, that sort of thing. That's all fine. That's all good. I just want you to know that God will show up here in ways that He does not show up at your house. Okay? I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with God in your house. You do, right? But I want you to know God will deal with you here in a way by His presence here that He will not when you're off on your own. Now, I can't help it. I know there are a lot of churches around that have socialized and liberalized themselves out of the presence of God. They come together with their rock band and their fog lights and their laser lights and their fog makers and all this kind of stuff to the extent that God doesn't show up at all. Okay, I'm sorry about that. You can go to churches where you do not have a Bible opened for 2 hours at a time. I'm sorry about that. That does not affect us. Okay, I'm sorry if your view of church going has been affected by you being mistreated, you being wounded, or by you being around liberals who do not understand the presence of God at all. But I want you to know, our vision here is to make sure that we do all we can to make sure that God shows up here on Sunday. Now, you know, we may not run the aisles and scream and yell and act like a bunch of hooligans or whatever, but I want you to know there are folks that pray and labor every single week that when we have services here, that God would please show up and speak through His Word, through His Spirit to whoever here is and needs it. I hope you experience the presence of God when you come here. I hope that you come in sometime and something nobody even knows about. I hope you come in and the Holy Spirit deals you one right in the middle of the head, right there, because you came in. And you experience God knowing about you when nobody else in the room knows about you. I've had folks leave church mad and so on and so forth because they believed I was picking on them. I didn't know about their problem. They came in and they got nailed right between the eyes and they blamed it on me. I want you to know that's not me. That's God. You say, well, I've been in your church before and I believe that you've been picking on me. I want you to know something. There are too many people here for me to pick on you. Believe it or not, I do not build sermons around one person or one thing. There's just too many people with too many problems. So if you come in and get nailed, it's between you and God. I want you to know you will experience the presence of God here in a way that you will not all by yourself. You say, oh no, I have a wonderful time with my praise music. Well, there's more to serving God than praise music. I just want you to know you will experience something here in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God in a way that you won't somewhere else. Now, with that said, let me say something else. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We were here this morning in church for just a minute, so I don't question for a minute that you guys know what's in this passage. But one of the things that somebody gets when they're in church on a regular basis, and I believe you're cheating yourself out of it when you're not in church on a regular basis. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it, that preaching, is the power of God. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want you to know, when you come to a Bible preaching church, and again, the idea is you can go to churches where nobody preaches any of the Bible at all. I understand that. I understand that. I hope that's what you left when you left a church somewhere. But I want you to know that when you come to a Bible-believing church, you get to sit at the source of God's power. You get to sit under preaching. Now look, folks, preaching is the number one thing in this world that changes people's lives. You say, oh no, I know psychologists that help too. Preaching is the number one thing in this world that changes people's lives. And by preaching, you get to know Jesus Christ. By preaching, you get understanding in the Word of God. Preaching is the number one thing, the priority in changing someone's life. All right? And I want you to know that if you don't come to church, you are getting the short end of the stick on this matter. I am tired of constant attempts by the world and by quote-unquote Christianity to jury-rig preaching. You know why folks don't like preaching? Do you know why some Christians don't like preaching? Look in chapter 1, verse 18. The reason why they don't like preaching, they don't like dealing with something that looks and sounds at time foolish. It says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That is, getting a guy up here and yelling at you guys and so on, it looks pretty dumb. Guys get ranting and raving, and the vein sticks out on the side of his neck, and he gets all red in the face, and he sweats and stuff. It looks stupid. I'm sorry, it looks stupid. I want you to know the preaching of the Word of God is the power of God. You say, well, I get preaching on the radio. I get preaching on CD. Okay? CD preaching, that's a fine thing. It's not the same as being here. Okay? I mean, I don't know how many times I have been somewhere where I went and got a sermon, you know, that I'd heard somebody preach in person, and then went and got the sermon on CD or tape, and it was a wonderful thing. It's a good sermon and all that stuff. It's not the same. If you fall back on relying, and you have another choice, if you fall back upon relying to hear preaching off of CDs, even off, and I'm on the internet, so, you know, just tell you for what it's worth, but if you fall back on listening to me or anybody else on the internet, rather than trying to do all you can to get in the presence so God can deal with you here, eye to eye, face to face, with an altar, with an open Bible in your lap. It's not the same. Say, I listen to preaching all the time when I'm in the truck driving. Yeah, and the guy that cuts you off, you're momentarily distracted, so you miss something the Holy Spirit had for you. Right? And the other old lady that pulled out in front of you, well, you ran into her, so she's really got it. The point, ladies and gentlemen, is that preaching is the power of God. God ordained preaching, and granted, you know, God didn't have the CDs and DVDs and internet and all that stuff back in those days, so I understand those things were not even foreseen, at least by us, in the Word of God. But I want you to know it's still not the same as being there, face to face, and the emphasis is on preaching. And so, folks, as far as the manifesto here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the issue is preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's not counseling. It's not bridge building. It's not relationship building. It's not what is relevant. It's preaching. It's opinionated, redneck, negative preaching. Okay? You get to sit at the source of God's power. There's actually a story one time about this guy that was mocking George Whitefield for his preaching, and he actually preached himself under conviction in mocking George Whitefield. There is power, folks, in preaching. And I don't know. I'm not railing on you guys. You guys are really good. I tell folks that come to our church, they say, well, I saw there on Sunday morning you had, you know, 160 people there or whatever. I said, well, we get about, you know, 85 or 90% of them back on Sunday night. It's a blessing. Most of you guys will be here on Wednesday night, and that's a blessing. I believe you're here because you get fed. That's a good thing. But I want you to know it's not like that out there. Most churches fall way short when it comes to feeding the flock of God. And I want you to know, folks, that if you're going to church somewhere where you are not getting to sit at the source of God's power, preaching on a regular basis, I want you to know you're cheating yourself. The day that you decide not to go to church, you're going to stay just listen to a CD today or see a video on the boob tube or whatever, you're cheating yourself. You say, gas is expensive. I know that. I come from Oak Grove. Right? I know that. I understand that. It's still not the same. There are things you can't put a dollar sign on. And the power of God is something you can't put a dollar sign on. Having your life changed by somebody telling you the truth out of the Word of God, and you're sitting reading the words while he says it, there's something that you cannot buy that with money. You cannot put an amount on that. Okay, I want to say something else here. I want to say that you get to enjoy pure and spiritual things. Now, when I say that, I understand what I'm saying. First of all, I know that you go out into the world, and it's a cafeteria style everywhere you go, right? Got to take a little bit of bad versus a little bit of good and all that kind of stuff. I want to say this. You ought not to have to take a little bit of bad and a little bit of good here. So I'll tell you this right now. The vision at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is that I will be ashamed if you come in and you have to sort through bad music. I'll be ashamed if you come in here and have to sort through bad doctrine. I'll be ashamed if you come in here and have to sort through my Greekifying the Bible, where you don't even know what I said by the time it's over with. I want you to know, folks, that what you ought to be able to do when you come in here is not worry about certain things. Ought to worry, not have to worry about whether Joab has his sword in his hand beside down by his leg, so he stabs you as you walk by. I would be ashamed if you had to worry about whether your wife was going to get stolen by somebody here, or your husband was going to get stolen by somebody here, or your daughter was going to get defiled by somebody here. I want you to know, the vision is 100% of the time, as much as possible, as much as flesh allows, and there is no church that is perfect, right? As much as the flesh allows, our desire is to give you something spiritual all the time you're here. The pure Word of God, the spiritual Word of God, a pure vision, pure music, pure fellowship, a pure vision for your family, a pure vision for your children, all right? You say, that youth group, it has faults and problems. Well, duh. That's kind of the nature of a youth group, isn't it? In fact, it's kind of the nature of an older people's group as well. The point is, I very much realize you're going to look around after a certain period of time here. You're going to find certain things wrong with Blessed Old Baptist Church because guess what? We're all flesh. I know it's, you know, there's a truth that's so true that now folks just take it and say it without even thinking about it, but there is no perfect church. I knew that already. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect youth director. There's no perfect youth director's wife. There is no perfect pastor's wife. There's no perfect deacon, especially no perfect deacon. There's no perfect anything, right? But I'll tell you what the vision is. The vision is that you come in here 3 times a week by God's grace, and you get something pure and undefiled every time you come. Pure music, pure Bible, pure teaching, pure doctrine, and as much as possible with sinners, pure fellowship. That is the vision. I want you to know you ought not have to walk in here and do it cafeteria style all the time, wondering who's going to stab you in the back, wondering what weirdo thing you're going to get taught here this week. By the grace of God, I don't teach weirdo stuff. I teach the Bible. If it's weird to them, that's too bad. If it's weird to you, maybe you need to change your mind. Who knows? Got quiet there for a minute. Okay, I want to say that, furthermore, that one of the things you get in church is that you get reproved and exhorted and admonished here about things you never would anywhere else in this world. Okay? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went into the world and somebody stood up on a park bench and said, "You know what? Your thoughts are wicked. You are wicked all the way down to the bottom of your heart. Your insides are dripping green slime. You have all the imaginations of your heart are only evil continually." When is the last time you were dealt with about that in public? When is the last time some newscaster got on and preached to you about, oh, modest dress, say? Or say about the rapture? Or say about the judgment seat of Christ? I'm telling you, you will get exhorted and admonished here about things you will never get exhorted and admonished about. And I'll tell you what. You will get exhorted here, admonished here, and reproved here about things you will never hear a word about by somebody that's trying to build a mega church. I'll tell you this, you're going to hear stuff here you have never heard at Eagle Brook. And the reason why is I don't care what you think. I really take as a point of fact that God called me to preach the Bible, the whole counsel of God, and I want you to have the best. I want you to change for the best. I want you to make the right decisions. But in the end, I've got to say what I've got to say. And I don't really care what you think. You're going to hear stuff in a Bible-believing pulpit that you will never hear somewhere that's not a Bible-believing pulpit. You're going to hear things here that you never would have heard at a megachurch somewhere. And that's really the point, folks. You get reproved and exhorted here about things you never would somewhere else. I keep trying to imagine. I was sitting over there when Brother Peacock was here. I was trying to imagine Brother Peacock at an evangelical church. Wonder how long that would last, amen? I was sitting over there thinking, boy, he wouldn't last very long. But ladies and gentlemen, where would you go to get reproved about not cussing in this world? Where would you go to get reproved about the judgment seat of Christ? Where would you go get reproved about what you're looking at on a regular basis? What you read on a regular basis, what TV shows you watch on a regular basis, what you expose your children to on a regular basis. You're not going to go anywhere and get it because it's not anywhere in this world. The only place you can get it in this world really is here. So I say, do I believe we're the only church in the world? No, I do not believe that. In fact, I know better. But the point is, there ain't many. We're a pretty rare species these days. We are trying, we are doing the best we can to make this a spiritual place. We're doing the best we can to make this a pure place. Yes, people make mistakes. Yes, people do something stupid. Why? Because we're stupid. But I want you to know that we're doing the best we can to make sure this is a pure spiritual place where you can get the Word of God and get something special here, where you can grow here. So I want you to know you can get reproved and exhorted here about things you would never get reproved and exhorted somewhere else. You get pushed to do and be things that you would never get pushed to do and be anywhere else. You're not going to go to the world and they're going to say, "Get out on a street corner and yell at people." You're going to go nowhere and get that. You get that here. You are pushed to do things you do not want to do. You're pushed to do things you don't think you can do. You are pushed to pray every day. You're pushed to read your Bible every day. You're pushed to memorize whole chapters of the Bible. Okay, you need that. You know why? Because you won't do it on your own. Because you won't hear it anywhere else out there. But I want you to know that you will be exhorted and reproved to do things here that you would never be exhorted and reproved to do anywhere else in this world. We preach as best as possible the whole counsel of God. And you know, most people get to go to a church, they choose a church where, you know, there's enough holidays in this world where you have Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day is coming up, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Arbor Day. So, you know, when you pick your average church, if you just pick your holiday, you can pretty much control what you're going to have preached. Because you're going to go to church on Arbor Day and hear things about trees and stuff. I want you to know that that's not the way things are here. I want you to know when you walk in the back door, you are dead meat. If it's Christmas, I want you to know you may not get a Christmas message at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know why? Because I do what I can. I know that when Brother Grissom is here preaching, Brother Dave, we preach what the Lord lays on our hearts. We do the best we can. I know that I try to not even set a theme too much for the visiting evangelists and stuff that come in, because I prefer them to pray and preach what God lays on their heart rather than me setting a theme and kind of forcing them to be in my riverbed, all right? My point is, ladies and gentlemen, you come in here, you're dead meat when you walk through the door. I'm going to do everything I can to nail you between the eyes about something that God wants me to deal with you about. And again, I don't pick my messages to hit you. The Holy Spirit lays His message on me. And so many times, folks, people come in and they say, boy, I was just thinking about that this week. That is a blessing, all right? But I want you to know that anything goes. The whole counsel of God is preached. We're trying to do the best we can to make this everything God wants it to be. And I want you to know that. There's something else I wanted to say. I wanted to say that you get to see things here that you would never see off by yourself. See, we live in a day when folks are going free agent, all right? And they stay home, they home church, they watch videos, they watch DVDs, and so on and so forth. There's a problem with that. There's an awful lot of those folks that never get to see somebody saved in their entire lifetime because they're not a group of people together pushing one another. What you'll never see, except in a local church, is somebody get right, come to an altar, and make things right. I bet you'll never hear a spiritual or moral public apology from anybody out in the world. But once in a while, somebody does wrong and feels it necessary to get up and apologize to the congregation for something they've done here. You will never hear that somewhere else in the world. You will see fruit born here that you never would off by yourself. You'll see fruit born here you will never see born in a Bible study somewhere at work. You will see prayers answered here. We come together, pray on Wednesday night, take prayer requests every time we come together, pretty much. You will see prayers answered here that you would never see answered off by yourself. Because you know what? We've all proven you can sit down, you can pray and pray and pray yourself individually. Sometimes that prayer is a long time in coming. But you know what? There's 150 people praying here. And so even though sometimes prayers being answered are a long time in coming, you will hear somebody's prayer answered here just about every week. So I want you to know you get to see things you wouldn't see off by yourself. You will get to see things here you never see at home. I want to say that you get a relationship with people unlike elsewhere in this world. Again, you can join the 4-H Club, you can join Amway, you can join Mary Kay, you can join the Kiwanis Club or whatever. And there are saved people there, and that's all fine and wonderful. It's not the same. It's not the same. I want you to know that you have a relationship with people here unlike anywhere else in the world. Do you know something? Now, Seth is born and reared and now a father. And Daniel is born and reared and not a father. Thank God. But he's grown, amen? I want you to know, I have not raised my kids alone. There are an awful lot of folks that put an awful lot of hours into my sons and my daughter. And they're not done yet. They've got more hours to put in. But I did not rear my sons alone. I did not rear my daughter alone. We had a lot of help here. I've helped rear some of yours. Men, I want you to know it's a unique relationship here in this church. The idea is we've become brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We care for each other's kids. We pray for each other's kids. I believe my kids are right today because you prayed. I did not rear my kids alone. I do not bear my burdens alone. You know, I laid in the hospital for 3 weeks up there, and there was something I was very much aware of. I was very much aware of the fact that I was not bearing that burden alone. You say, yeah, Marcy was with you. Yeah, Marcy was with me, and my kids were praying. But I knew that you were praying. I want you to know something else. Think about this relationship thing. I guess I've always kind of been a kind of a driven guy and all that kind of thing. And all the everybody up at the hospital, they were all amazed, you know, because I would actually go back to the room and do the exercises they gave me. I want you to know, you say, why did you do that? Well, I didn't want to lay in a bed the rest of my life. I didn't want to sit in a wheelchair the rest of my life either, right? But I also wanted to get back here because I have a relationship with you guys and you have a relationship with me. And there's a role we all play together here. And I want you to know that this is a unique relationship that you cannot have with a friend out in that world. It's not the same. When you got saved, your relationship with people changed. So there's that. I want to say furthermore that you get to be a part of the one single solitary organization that God ordained. Did you know that God did not ordain the Kiwanis Club? God did not ordain 4-H. I want you to know that God ordained the church. And I know the church is the body of Christ. I believe it's the universal body of Christ. I do believe that, all right? I believe this is the manifestation of the body of Christ here, all right? And what you have these days, I show you this once in a while so you know what I'm talking about once in a while. But there are certain folks that I have denominated as free agents for God. They are free agents for God. You know what a free agent is? When a football player becomes a free agent, he gets to go anywhere that they want to pay him, right? Gets to sign a new contract with somebody. A bunch of God's people are free agents for God. They are. They are fags. So when I say these, usually in church, when I say somebody's a fag, that's actually what I mean. I mean somebody that's unpastorable, that's not interested in being pastored. I mean somebody that's off doing his own thing. He is evangelizing on his own, sometimes when he feels like it. A lot of times he has no success, so he quits for a while, then pops back in when he feels like it, right? These are free agents for God. I want you to know, you are not called to be a free agent. There is not a Christian in this world called to be a free agent. You are not called to do what you want to do when you do it. You're called to do what God wants you to do. And part of the realization of the will of God actually comes through the church, where you get fed, where people care for you, where people pray for you, and by the way, where you are accountable to somebody, right? Remember that particular relationship I was telling you about a minute ago? I want you to think about this. We don't believe in a pope, right? So, a Catholic says, well, the pope is, you know, who we ultimately answer to. So any Catholic church in this town, they ultimately go up the line and they answer to the pope, who then answers to them for God or Mary or whatever. Doesn't work that way, okay? Now, did you know? You say, Brother Stevens, you're an independent Bible-believing pastor. You're an independent pastor. That is, I didn't get baptized by somebody that was baptized by somebody that was baptized by Pope John. I didn't get baptized by somebody that was baptized by somebody that was baptized by John the Baptist either, okay? So who am I accountable to? You say, well, Brother Stevens, you're accountable to God. I'll tell you somebody else I'm accountable to. I'm accountable to you. You say, what keeps you from standing up and preaching heresy? Well, you do. You read your Bible, right? If I stood up and preached heresy, how many of you guys do you think I could really sell the heresy to? See, I've taught you, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible. When I say something, check what I say out of the Bible. So now when I get up and preach some weirdo, wacko thing, how many of you can I put it over on? Probably not Brother Caribou. Probably not Brother Darling. Probably not Brother Bob. I probably could with some of you, but I'm just kidding. See, that's the point. At some level or another, we all answer to one another. You answer to me, I answer to you. See, what keeps you from doing something weird? You do. See, you and me, we are not free agents for God. We belong to a local church. We have a mission here. We have a commission here. We have a Bible. We go through on the same page right in this Bible. So as it is, we're in pretty good shape because we are not free agents for God. This is the only organization on earth that God ordained. If you are not in church, if you are not in a local church, you may love God, you may be saved, praise God for it, all right? I'm just saying in that, it's not the same. It's not the same. You know something else? When you come to church, you get to redeem wasted time and resources. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. You get to redeem wasted time and resources. How many of you wasted time and resources before you got saved? Oh, boy. If anybody here ever did any cigarettes or did any drugs or did any alcohol whatsoever, you wasted a bunch of money. I bet some of you had a bunch of toys before you got right with God. I mean, a bunch of toys. I'm not talking about a pistol and one snowmobile. I bet some of you had an arsenal and a four-car garage full of toys. You wasted a bunch of time. You wasted a bunch of money. You wasted a bunch of resources, right? I bet some of you were members of certain organizations that now you don't have time for. I bet some of you bowled, played softball, played football, played badminton, threw darts at the local bar, and went to the yearly drinking contest. Every year, you were involved in everything you could imagine, and you wasted money and time and youth. You burned half your candle on something that was absolutely stupid, absolutely ridiculous. And now, by the grace of God, I hope you're old enough and spiritual enough to realize you wasted a bunch of time, a bunch of strength, a bunch of energy, and a whole wad of money on things that you could have done something better with. You say, well, what do we do about that then? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, go down to verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That's what you're supposed to do. See that, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, like you used to walk, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. One more passage, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You know, you can look back on your life when you were lost, not living for God, even maybe when you were saved and still not living for God. You can see all the time, all the money, all the energy, all the years that you wasted. You know, now you have an opportunity to redeem that time. You know the best place to redeem time? It's here. You know why? Because here you will be admonished to do with your time and your money and your energy something that matters. Because left to yourself, I know what happens. You do stuff that does not matter. You do stuff that does not matter. Listen, folks, I know that, you know, fishing, hunting, whatever you do, coin collecting, reading, whatever, all those things are fun. All those things are recreational to a certain level. But none of them really get anything done. All right, you can get something done here. You can give your money someplace that's sending money to missionaries that are trying to win souls to Jesus Christ. All right? You can yourself partake in going out on the street, passing out tracts with a bunch of people. You know, so it's not so hard for you to go do it alone. You can get out on a street, pass out tracts, maybe even lift your voice and do a little street preaching. You can reach more people in 5 minutes on Nicollet Mall street preaching than you could reach in a year the way you used to do it. Okay? Yeah, you say, well, I joined Amway so that I can meet people and help witness to them. You can go to Nicollet Mall at 12 o'clock in the summer on a summer day and preach to more people in 5 minutes than you can reach personally in a year doing something else. I'm not saying they'll all get saved. I'm not saying that you're going to be the most popular guy on the street either. I am saying you will be urged and prodded and admonished to do things here you would never do somewhere else. Folks, in the end, I believe this. I believe that God knew what He was doing when He ordained the church. I believe the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I don't believe the news media is watching over the truth. I don't believe that Christian colleges, Christian seminaries are watching over the truth. I believe when it comes to the truth of the Bible, it's the church's responsibility. And you know what? There's a ton of churches that ain't doing it. So all I can say is we're doing the best we can to do it. Even at the expense of not being liked, even at the expense of being mocked and scorned and scourged and everything else, because they despise what we stand for, they despise what we're trying to do, I want you to know we are doing all that we can. Okay? We want it to be pure. We want it to be spiritual. We want it to be right. And we are trying to do that. I hope you'll pitch in and help. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you tonight for your love and goodness to us. And Father, I know that there's always the possibility somebody's sitting there tonight having listened to this message, thinking this is all self-serving and it's about the pastor trying to pat his own pocket somehow or whatever. Father, it's really not that at all. I hope folks can see that there are things here, there are resources here that folks can get in the presence of that they could never partake in anywhere else in this world. Father, it's not just Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's wherever somebody's preaching and teaching the Bible and truth. So I'm asking you, Father, to deal with somebody's heart here. We're not all where we're supposed to be. All of us would say that we've failed so much and fallen short in so many things. That all is very true. Yet at the same time, Lord, You ordained something here. You gave us a commission and a mandate, and we're trying to do what we can. I pray that You'd help us, strengthen us, give us power, Lord, and encourage somebody here tonight that's been a little bit wayward, a little bit lackadaisical in the way they approach things, to realize what a treasure they have. Father, we can all be critical. We can always find something wrong, and there always are things wrong. That doesn't mean that we're all happy with the things that are wrong. Many times it means we're working as hard as we can to try to correct it. But Father, I pray You'd help folks to set aside some critical stuff in their lives. Help them to see that, Father, there are some things here that they need. I pray You'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's look this way. Turn to number 186. To play, and maybe the Lord spoke to your heart here tonight. Again, I count myself blessed. You folks are very faithful. You come because you're hungry, because you're being fed. I appreciate that very much. Don't have to hold an anvil or a dark cloud over your head to get you to come. Appreciate it. Thank you for it. Doesn't mean we're all right 100% of the time. Amen. Doesn't mean that there aren't things to improve. It doesn't mean that you're doing all you can. Let me encourage you to remind yourself in a day when maybe you could be critical about some things going on. Maybe you're upset by somebody across the room or by a certain portion of what's going on, maybe the youth group or some such thing. Maybe you're mad at something I said or something my wife said or something like that. Let me remind you about the treasure that you have and the labor that's gone into this. Not just my labor. not just my wife's labor, Brother Grissom's labor, Brother Darling's labor, but your labor. We have folks in this room that have been here for the entire lifetime of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Sadiks have been here forever. The Conradsons have been here forever. And they've been faithful through all these years. They put blood, sweat, and tears into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We've done the best we can to try to keep it pure, keep it right, keep it to be what it, help it to be what it's supposed to be. I hope you'll join with us and do that as well. I'm not calling for church membership tonight. I'm just calling you to think about the resources that you have here, the resource that you have here. Don't be lackadaisical about coming. Don't be lackadaisical about whether you are interested in being committed or not. Sing the third stanza. Third stanza. Y'all being here all day today. It's been a good day. Let me remind the kids not to get out in the snow tonight, all right? They're concerned about getting squooshed. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Frank, would you close us tonight? Good night, folks.